Yes, welcome to a very special edition, a two-hour edition of Spin on Golf today, because, well, there's a lot to talk about. You know, last year was my first opportunity to fill in for Sean, and it was such an honor to be able to come on this show the week of the Masters. I thought it was the coolest thing. I was like, oh, man, a golf show with you guys, week of the Masters? That's amazing.
Did you say honor? Did something go on last week?
But then I'm like, nope. This is even better to get to be on this show week.
Something happened? Nothing. I don't know. What happened?
Mike?
No, I have no idea.
What happened?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
maybe I'm wrong here. One of the most historic days in the sport of golf took place this week, obviously, with not the merger or whatever they're calling it now, because they erased the word merger out of all the press releases. So the cohabitation? I don't know what exactly.
Is that an economic situation, like you want to live with your girlfriend before you get married type deal?
I guess maybe. I guess. Yeah. You know, obviously.
It's a sponsored partnership.
Right.
Oh, that's okay.
Sponsored partnership.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Sponsored partnership.
We're gonna deep dive into that here coming up a little bit later, because there's gonna be a lot to talk about. I'm sure you all have your opinions on what's going down. We are watching the.
Wonder how many punk of the weeks there's gonna be this week.
19 punks of the week. We are watching the final hole here of the RBC Canadian. Fleetwood tied going into the last hole. He's still got a chance to win, as he is on 18 right now. So we'll get to that. But first, it looks like we have some special guests and some hardware in the studio here.
Yeah, we have the some of the guys from the Northville State High School Championship Golf Team. They held off. Who'd you guys hold off yesterday by a mile? And you won by a mile. Adams.
A couple shots?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot tighter than that, the way I was looking at it yesterday. Yeah. Well, yeah, anyway.
Let's do that now. Let's get some of your boys in here. You can chat it up a little bit about the high school championship with this nice statue you got here. Looks well deserved. So who are we gonna be talking to?
We'll go with Ryan Gallagher and.
All right, here you go.
Greg, how are we doing? You think that this would happen a long time ago? We started back at PGA Junior League.
This is a long time ago.
Huh? You guys had your orange outfits on. You just had different, same color, just a different event, huh?
Yeah, we weren't wearing orange, though. We wore black and tan.
Oh, okay. Black and tan.
Black and tan.
Nice.
Well, you're not old enough for that yet, but it's okay. Anyway, so let's take it. Okay, you guys played decent, for the first round. Mason, obviously, was leading you guys the first round, but walk me through yesterday's back nine. And you guys all knew what was going on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, hole by hole, here's tournament golf. And not say Jordan and I didn't tell you this was going to happen, but we told you this was going to happen eventually, right?
Yeah. I definitely think that Coach Lewicki helped us out a lot there. I know that his tournament experience was deep. He's a good player. And he kind of told us that it's going to come down to the last nine holes at States. And he said, whatever you do, just play match play. We were tied with Brighton going into the second day. And he told us about, I think, hole nine, just play match play, beat your man and hold your ground. So
I like that.
Good advice.
Beat
yeah.
your I mean, man, hold your
if
ground.
You beat your man, then okay. I've got four other guys. That's all you can do, right? What do you think, Lefty?
Yeah, Coach Lewicki said the same thing to me, but my back nine looked a lot different than my front nine. I didn't do too good.
That's an understatement.
It was a tale of two nines for me. Yep. I went out in 35, came back in 42, 43, something like that, but not too good. But got the job done with the team.
Got the job done. I mean, that's what it's all about, is getting the job done. You did what you had to do coming down that back nine. But, you know, you would say, did you guys prepare correctly? Were you ready for this? I mean, you obviously had to know that you had a pretty good run at this going into it.
Yeah. Yeah, we took a lot of notes in our scorecard or our yardage book and stuck by the game plan with that.
Yeah,
it's good. A lot of the kids don't know that.
I think, when you look back at it and all the kids that come here and train and you know, a lot of people said, hey, great for Northville. Great. I mean, it's awesome for Northville. Now you got one. The girls have some. Now you guys have one. But it's the time and the years put in on the courses, on the range. These three guys are here all the time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. People don't realize what it takes. And it's not this year or last year. It's 5 years. It's 8 years. It's whatever it is, right?
Yep.
I mean, Ryan's been a little more newer to the game, but these guys have been here since they were this tall.
Right. Well, they're still that tall, but they're a little taller.
Maybe. You know, I mean, it's just another story, right?
Right.
And you guys work hard, and you guys deserved it, and I'm proud of you guys. It's cool that you guys came through with the win.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Really cool. All right, let's get Mason in here for a second, and we can kind of chew his ear off because he played pretty
One of you guys can stay in here.
Yeah, one of you guys can stay in there, whoever, either one.
Hop over there, Mace. This was held at the Meadows out on the west side of the state, which has some fescue, right? There's some fescue out there?
A little bit.
A little bit of fescue. But you guys must have drove it pretty well, made some putts, right?
Yeah, you know, like putting was the biggest advantage on Friday, right? So I was able to make all my putts inside 6 feet. All those comebackers for par, right? Not many three putts, but Saturday was a different story. Missed a couple 4-footers, but besides that, it's pretty good.
It's good you got to make those 4-footers.
Yep. Yeah.
It's really you have to know that you knew your shortcomings right going into the tournament, and how do you dodge around those? How do you prepare yourselves to get around those shortcomings? I mean, because you can't drive it crooked there. You could drive it a little crooked, but your ball's gone.
Yeah.
You know.
I was definitely a little hesitant on the first couple holes of the tournament, and that showed. I started bogey both rounds, and I kind of, on the third hole of each round, I stepped up, I felt it, I said, I got to make a change, and I swung with confidence, and that was different the whole rest of the
round. I like
that.
Did you hear what he just said?
I like
everybody,
that.
Did you hear what this guy just said?
Sounds like Zach.
Unbelievable.
That's good. I made a change and swung with confidence. It's perfect.
Wow, how many people can honestly say that? Mace, did you have that feeling?
Oh, yeah. Yep. All confidence coming on the stretch on Saturday, right?
Oh, that's pretty cool. You knew he had to get her done. And, you know, at some level, and then that was the biggest thing for me when I, you know, went through states. That was the biggest thing that happened to me up in my junior golf until that point. Right. So it was a big deal. And you know what? And feeling those nerves and feeling that, do you welcome it or do you want it to go away?
No, you need nerves. That means like you care about the sport,
right?
You care about how you want to do good.
Right. Right. So some people go to it and some people run from it.
Right.
So it's obviously you guys didn't run from it. You guys welcomed it and took care of business.
BC, I see a Benjamin on the table. Did you lose a bet to one of these guys?
No.
Is that a?
I don't think
no?
so.
Oh, okay. Would that be against NCAA?
No,
violation?
That'd be the next segment. Some of the college coaches wouldn't like that.
And Mace, top three, right? Third place.
Yep.
Third place individual. Good job.
Yep,
we're pulling for you.
Yeah.
I was getting a little nervous when I was opening up the second day to see the final score. I was hoping to see you on top. But hey,
yeah.
Congrats on the third place and well done for sure.
Thank you.
Good job, Northville. Congrats. Yep. Awesome. Division I champions.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. Great job, guys.
Going? Oh, very nice. Okay, yeah, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to get into it. We got to talk about the paid co-sponsorship thing. We'll be back. Spin on Golf, 760 AM WJR. Currently watching Fleetwood talking out with his caddy for his third shot, 86 yards from the hole on 18, tied right now, top of the leaderboard with Nick Taylor. But can he pull off a birdie from here? This is going to be not an easy shot.
Might not get it on the green.
Downhill lie in the rough.
Ball below his feet.
Yep.
Where does this ball 99% of the time go, Mike?
Dead right.
No.
Will he be? Well, I mean, most likely right now it looks like we're going to have a playoff in the.
That'd be a pole hook about 40 feet left of the hole.
Right in the stands.
Right in the stands. Chinese hook.
There we go. Oh, and he's got it up in the air.
He's kind of eyeballing it.
He likes it.
Oh,
oh,
playoff. Okay. Not an easy two putt.
That's not an easy two putt. Not at all.
Big deal for Nick Taylor as a Canadian. It's been about a million years, maybe since the Leafs won the Cup. Since Canadian has won.
Yeah, they showed a clip. It was definitely like right around 1960, the last time a Canadian actually won the Canadian Open. All right, well, we wait for him to make these two putts. Let's just get into it. Of course, the news of the week, probably one of the biggest stories in golf history, is the we'll just call it a merger between LIV and the PGA, something that we were told was never going to happen. And then, as a lot of players stated, great waking up to news I knew nothing about. I don't even know what to say. The only thing I can say is from the reports, Jay Monahan said we couldn't afford the legal battle anymore. $50 million spent in legal battles with the LIV Tour and what was going on. So I don't understand. Why can't you have two golf entities? I don't get it. If you want to go play, go play. If you don't want to play there, don't play there. I don't understand.
I mean, I was going to the tee on Monday up the state pro-am, and I checked my phone, and I saw a picture of Greg Norman and the logo on social media, and I saw what I saw, and I didn't know if it was real, just probably like everybody else
right
in the world. And I asked playing partners, I said, I just saw what I think I saw. And they said, yeah, did you hear? And I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, really?
I said, so it's real? And they said, well, I think it's real. You know, and then it just takes a lot to digest the last bunch of days. I think I must have watched that loop that was going on the Golf Channel. I guess it would have been, was it Monday night or maybe it was Tuesday? There was a 30-minute or 60-minute loop of, you know, Hack and all the other guys talking and bringing in guests.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I watched it like three times.
Perfect name for what they do. channel.
Yeah.
A bunch of
Chambly wasn't on yet, but
he came on later, though.
But yeah, he was on later. And I just tried to process it all. And then, you know, you can't really say too much at this point. I can't. I don't know enough about all the ramifications, and I don't think anybody really knows yet because nothing's really come out. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And Rory's comments, and he's getting blasted at the Canadian Open, and the Canadian Open has been hijacked for the last 2 years because of LIV last year, and now this year.
Well, I think, and I don't know, you know, as a golfer, what you may think, what the bigger side of is it, the players that left and collected, you know, tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars who will now be able to come back, or the fact that the players that were told they wouldn't be able to play in certain tournaments will now most likely be able to play in some tournaments. BC, you're flipping a $100 bill around.
That's what it's all about.
Well, money?
Absolutely.
I mean, period.
100%.
Yeah. One entity has money and one doesn't.
Right.
Can we just agree to agree on that?
Absolutely. An endless bucket of money. They could have drawn this out as much as they wanted.
Yeah, is it like $270 billion?
Was it $600
billion?
Oh, sorry. The PIF.
Whatever.
Sorry, I was a little light.
Yeah, a little light.
A little light.
You guys have to understand that's only one.
Yeah. Right.
Fund.
Yep.
Right. So that's where the money is being derived from for this entity called LIV Golf. Okay, 54. So if you understand that, they're not bad business people. They're just not going to throw money at the wall and hope it sticks and hope something comes of it. No, they have a plan, and we saw their plan in Tucson, and it was really well orchestrated, and they're organized, and I know what they're doing. And the PGA Tour cannot keep up with that race. They couldn't, let alone the legal battle. So let's just call it what it is. They couldn't keep up with that rising, and I'm not sure the PGA Tour sponsors could keep up with the rising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just made sense that they got together, and it took someone on the PGA Tour policy board, unfortunately, not the PGA of America, to come to get these two parties together and then talk about what could happen. What could we do here? And I think that's all they've agreed to do.
From initial reports that I saw, it looks like the PGA players will have a vested interest and profit sharing in this new thing going forward, because they're the ones that stayed and didn't go and take the LIV money. You know, how that all works out.
The policy board, the PGA Tour players haven't even voted on this yet. The policy board hasn't even voted
on it. No, it's just talk, but I do like the idea. Mm-hmm. I do think that is very smart on their part, or you can't allow
some sort of reparations
ticked off
for
people,
right? But does the PGA owe it to them? They decided to stay. The other players decided to take the paycheck and go to live.
I don't think they owe it to them, but I think that it would be, you know, a good idea to do something,
right?
In good faith.
Well, what as a player, what's the other option? You play the game you love. You want to win the tournaments. Are you not going to play golf? You're going to walk away from the game?
True.
You know, true. What else are you going to I don't think it's fair that to say that, you know, the PGA has all the power.
Well, hang on a second.
What are they going to do?
And then that's another topic this whole week. It's not the PGA.
Nope.
Okay.
It drives me nuts. No offense.
No, absolutely.
It's the PGA Tour.
Tour, right.
It's not the LPGA. It's LPGA Tour.
Right.
We are not affiliated with the PGA Tour.
You are absolutely correct.
We are in association with them in some way, shape, or form, but we are not what they represent. Right. It's two totally different entities. And so I saw a lot of people post that, share it on social media, and you know, try to separate the two or try to educate people what the difference is between the two.
Mm-hmm. Mike, anything?
It's going to be very interesting to find out how these guys get compensated that didn't go.
Right.
I think. I'm thinking they're going to get something.
Yeah, but why?
But
why?
That's a valid
because
question.
They have been this past year.
This is a promise, I guess, from Monahan, right? I'm going to
I think
work
it's a good
day
faith
and
thing.
Night to do this.
I don't understand where that rhetoric's coming from and how they can get away with doing that,
yeah.
To be honest with you.
So, I mean, if you're anyone,
so are you going to find the players that left?
That's apparently what.
Okay,
heard,
so
right?
They're going to find the players that left. I mean, before we even get into this, is he going to pass antitrust laws? Is it even going to get this far?
Right,
which
right.
I'm not going to say yes or no. I don't know, but the way they're talking about this sounds like we're taking back this power, and that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
Well, how did we
right.
get to this mess in the first
yeah,
place?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they can talk all they want. Jay Monahan could stick his chest out and say all he wants, but they don't have any money.
I mean, if you're a Phil, you made a great, I'm assuming a great business decision for yourself. You get this huge, huge paycheck, and after a couple of years, you get to come back home, if you will, and pick back up where you left off in the PGA, on the tour.
I can pretty much guarantee you that it runs a lot deeper than that. It's not just picking up and, okay, I'm going to make a check on the PGA Tour again. It's not, believe me, Phil's.
So how long, I mean, how long before, I'm wondering how long before this is all.
It's going to have to be a
while.
There's a lot of moving parts.
5 years.
And you don't think this
moving. Well, that's a valid question. Is it going to, because it might not be next
Bruce,
season.
You don't think this ran all the way up to the executive office?
Right.
As far as politics go?
Yeah.
Which already, the next day, Congress already came out and said, we're going to stop this antitrust laws. I mean, it already came out. I mean, the government's against it. It's mm-hmm. like, whoa, parts to the government. I'm going to say not. But so there's so many moving parts. There's so many legalities. It's unbelievable, the moving parts. Just involved with the PGA Tour.
Right.
I mean, the sponsorships. What's going to happen with the sponsorships? Do you just send these guys down the road? Are you kidding me?
So are we not going to see these guys next year in the PGA Tour tournaments? Like I said, it could be, you know, years before this is all taken.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where we're at. I have no idea when the schedule is going to be released. I assume the schedule will be released as status quo, like usual, mm-hmm. and then there has to be some kind of maybe presentation of events from the tour formerly known as LIV.
Right.
And what that will be in team events, who knows? And then all together, maybe in 2025.
Yep. That's where they're
then looking. That will announce some combination of both. All and right. Anybody will be allowed to play.
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit more. We do have to take a quick break, and we'll get more into it. And also the end of the RBC Canadian Championship coming up as well. It looks like they're going to have a playoff. We'll get back to Spin on Golf here in just a moment. 7:60 a.m. WJR. Yes, a special two-hour edition of Spin on Golf today. We are getting ready for the playoff, the RBC Canadian Open. Nick Taylor, Tommy Fleetwood, 17 under. Tommy Fleetwood had a chance, but shanked his second shot over.
Shanked?
All right.
Shanked it?
All right. Okay, fine.
That's a terrible layup.
Did you see it? Yeah, I didn't know. Did he shank it?
No, he didn't. It was not a pipe. He did not pipe it. No, he did not.
Sorry, I just had to say
that's fine. That's fine.
Here it is right here. So he laid up.
Oh, there you go.
He had a rough second.
He laid up, but he missed the fairway and hit the rough and caused a very difficult third shot.
Okay, Mike, what do you do when you hit your tee ball in the rough? Do you lay up in the rough again or just make sure
laying up in the rough?
Yeah, just keep laying up in the rough.
Just keep laying it up. Plus, you know, I mean, he was on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
You know, terrible. We were talking about that. He could have hit it in the stands. You never know. He had a good shot. So that was on the green.
It's important because, like, you see an angle like that out of rough and you're about 80 yards out. It's tilted severely. Mm-hmm. Now, as an amateur getting in there trying to hit that shot, everybody's like, oh, I'm going to hit it to the right.
Yeah.
All I'm thinking is how far left
am I
going
to pull
left? Right?
That's what I was saying. I was like, everybody hits it to the right, right?
Yeah, but no. I mean, when people process it, like, people actually think they're going to aim more left.
I know.
Then they'll hit it left of the bunker.
Yeah,
like in the grandstands.
If they took the laws of geometry and physics and actually saw what could possibly happen in impact, grass grab, the hosel hit the ground, and human beings seek uphill swings. They don't seek downhill swings, do they?
No.
So that ball's going left.
Yeah.
It has to.
I mean, everybody looks
was not very good.
Yeah, everybody looks at me like, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. You're the anti-golfer. Yeah. I'm like, well, maybe so, but. It's
you're
just
not
what,
an anti-golfer.
Man, be the anti-something, but not the anti-golfer.
Anti-matter.
Scores all over the place today in the RBC. I mean, everywhere from Cole shooting 9-under all the way to Rory kind of fell apart. He shot even today, although he was at the top leaderboard yesterday for a period of time.
Too bad. Oh, sorry.
Oh, do I smell
BC,
that punk?
Are you not a Rory fan?
Am I a Rory fan? Rory who? Who are we talking about here? I don't know who you're talking about. Well, we got to get to the rest of the high school scores here before
we do.
Okay.
We will.
Yeah. Let me pull them up here with the kids.
Let's just rock this. Well, out. Then we could just
It's your show. I'm just here to hang out, so we can do whatever
you
want.
Oh, you figured that out fine.
Hey, I've known all along.
Oh, that's all right.
Absolutely, we can get into the high schools.
What was the four divisions?
Yep.
High school golf.
Yep.
Playing all over the state.
Yep.
Literally.
Division one was at Grand Valley.
Yep.
Division two was at Fortress, which is always a fun course.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Division three was at Forest Acres West.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Division four, I'm at a loss for that one.
Bedford Valley.
Bedford Valley.
Come on.
Bedford Valley. Good.
Yeah.
Another good
I think we should mention the top teams here.
I think we should mention the top teams. Yes. Yeah. We had Northville in here.
Yeah, Northville is in here, the Division One state champions here. Rochester Adams coming in second, Brighton coming in third as a team. And over at the Fortress in Frankenmuth, you had, let's see here,
that
Grand Rapids Christian. Shot 595 to win.
It's pretty good.
That's really good. And
one under Quebec par.
Yeah. Bloomfield Hills, Brother Rice, and Vicksburg in third there.
Who was the young gentleman from Rice that shot 8 under?
Yeah.
10 under Lorenzo.
Lorenzo,
yes.
Pinelli,
wow.
64-70, 134. Pretty good.
Of course, like that, a guy like that's not going to be afraid. I'm 13, is he, Mike?
No, nope. He's going to make it happen.
When it comes to these high school state championships, what tees are they playing?
They're playing the white tees.
White
tees? Playing up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah,
probably a 67, 6800.
Okay.
Yeah. Not ball beaters.
Right.
Not yet.
Right.
That comes next year.
Right. But yeah, I mean, to shoot that score is unbelievable in high school. That's amazing.
It's cool.
All right, Division Three was at, like Jordan said, Forest Acres West, and you had Grand Rapids Catholic Central winning the Division Three title with a 306-308, 614. Lansing Catholic was in second, and Saginaw Swan Valley was in third. And Ashton DeBlasi, a student of mine, came in fifth in that tournament. Good.
It's good to see all the PGA professionals' sons playing too, and
it's unbelievable.
And,
they're like
Stahl
all
Cup,
over the place.
Stahl Cup boys, Remy and I think Parker, first and second, and they're I don't know if they were in Division Three or Four, but they finished first and second. Pretty cool. Good to see.
Yep,
that was very, very good.
What do you really concentrate? I mean, obviously you've worked with a lot of these kids and that they're out on the course, like you said, not ball beaters are not hitting at 300 yards yet.
Yeah.
So what is the,
some of them are,
what's the, what do you really concentrate on? If you're training these guys, you're playing
resilience,
resilience. Okay.
Stability. Don't sweat the small stuff.
I mean, just, you got to teach these kids how to practice.
A hunger. Mm-hmm.
It's like disorganized chaos out there if you would let them go.
Right.
They don't know what they're doing. And then, okay, do we have statistics to back this up? Do you know what you have to do?
At this level, when you get to the state, the high school state championship level, are you looking at statistics?
You bet your butt.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
100%, yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And they better know what they are.
They all, I mean, the top guys will know, but a lot of them, you're trying to train them to be aware of these things, and some buy in and some choose not to, and obviously
they're not playing well.
They're the ones, right? They're the ones not shooting 8 under, right?
Or like Brian said, you know, we've tried, all three of us have worked with a lot of these kids for a long time. You prepare them, like when you're in the state final on the back nine, the last day, you're gonna be all giddied out, all right, and all wigged out. What are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna crumble, or are you gonna face it head on?
Right.
And how many times can you put yourself in that situation, all these little one-day events,
right,
here, there, and everywhere, to try to gain those, like, okay, I got it this time. I've been here before. I've got it.
Is there a I'm assuming there should be, or whether you guys do it or maybe the high school coaches do it, I can only call it a classroom part of the training. Obviously you're on the mats, you're at the driving range, you're working on your swing, you're working on your putting.
It's constantly a classroom.
Is there a sit down, like you said, paperwork, yeah, statistic type?
No, aspect to it? I mean, to me, you almost have to get in the kid's face and say, listen, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I can tell you what's going to happen. Been there, done that.
Right.
Some listen, some don't.
And you are playing for more than yourself at this point. You're playing for your team. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Every stroke freaking matters, and you don't realize how hard that is. Like Ryan shot 42 or 43 his last night. You think he was proud of what he did, but he knew every single shot was probably going to matter, and it did.
And so, your communities too, you're playing for. I mean, you're coming from a long ways away to playing the state championship, right? I mean, seeing the stories and all the teams coming from up north and all that kind of stuff is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an awesome tournament.
What are the obviously, you become a PGA pro, the mental aspect of it is on a whole nother level. But when you're starting in the high school game, what are those first, you know, first things you're learning of the mental aspect of the game that you really try and concentrate on?
Well, I don't know if it's, I mean, what they don't know, they don't know. The good thing about it is that maybe they're naive. And then they happen to get in competition when they're ninth grade, 10th grade, and then they're like, how do I deal with this? Okay, now you can coach them through this. But the better they become and confident in their mechanics and their practice skills and their statistical data backup, and they will actually walk themselves through it eventually.
Okay.
They actually do.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
The kids will excel at doing what they do best vis-a-vis all those background, you know, drops on them.
Are a lot of these guys, I'm assuming that most of these top players, this isn't one of those things where it's like, golf is their main sport. This is what they put the time into. They're not necessarily, you know, doing this as the backup sport. These guys that are winning,
they're golfers.
They're golfers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to college to play golf. These guys.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Wish I took up golf at that age. That's one of the biggest regrets.
A lot of them started, though, like Greg Braun and his brother Tim. They started PGA Junior League here with us or with me, like, I don't know how long ago that was. I mean, that was with Dylan. That was with Hank Roebuck. That was with Nikki Watley. That was like, we had the really cool little team. And all these kids now, I put up that picture every year. There's like 12 of them. Like 8 or 9 of them are playing in college. They have college scholarships now. But I mean, Greg's learned and he's fought his way. He's another younger brother. He's kind of like James was, a younger brother that fought his way. And he's a little tougher and, you know, did his thing. And so, you know, these kids, They like I said, they learn over a longer period of time. It's not just in the last 3 years.
No, they might join the golf team.
They might harden in the last 3 years and develop into nice players.
Right.
but they started when they were five.
Right.
Or and six, as, and or as seven, you said, or nine,
in the first segment when you were talking to the young men, the dedication they've put in and the time they've put in to get to the level they're at.
Yeah, I mean, they're here all the time.
Right. No, that's great. That really is. Congratulations to all the teams from all the divisions. You know, hard work pays off. Absolutely. Spin on Golf, a special two-hour edition, watching the first playoff hole between Tommy Fleetwood and Nick Taylor at the RBC Canadian Open. We'll have updates on that. And when we come back, Spin on Golf, 7:60 a.m., WJR. Well, first playoff hole under wraps at the RBC Canadian Open. Fleetwood making a 25-footer for birdie.
Down the hill.
Down the hill. Nick Taylor making a 6-footer or so for birdie to go on to the second playoff hole. The umbrellas are out now, so the rain's starting to come down harder than it was, obviously. What is the second playoff hole here?
They
might go back and play
straight,
the same
back.
Hole.
Really?
I don't know. You know what's really nice? When your wife texts you and says, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, I haven't eaten. She goes, okay, steak and salad.
That's perfect.
I'm like, how good is that?
That's great.
Guess she's not the punk of the week.
She is definitely not the punk of the week. Very good, Jordan. That's one person I want to keep happy.
Well, in case you're wondering what BC's having for dinner, steak and salad
steak
it is.
Steak and salad it is.
No starch in there? No baked potato? No
guacamole.
Huh?
Oh, it's a Mexican salad with steak in it.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Oh, okay, so you're going to put the steak in the little steak salad.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little
different.
Yeah,
last night it was so good. I said, let's do this again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did that for breakfast. Made myself some delicious breakfast tacos yesterday. Had some leftovers. Had them again this morning.
I mean, I had sushi for breakfast yesterday. I mean, who says you got to eat eggs for breakfast?
You know, it's funny you say that because random thought I had the other day for people who work like third shift overnight hours or, you know, get that weird. Are you getting up at like 3-4 p.m. and having eggs and bacon or pancakes, or are you getting up and having like
what do you have a burger?
Steak and chicken.
Who says like, there's rules for what you have to eat when you have to eat anyway?
Like, there isn't like, at all.
I mean, Jordan's comes in with Doritos and a Coke in the morning.
I mean,
you know?
Breakfast
I mean,
champions.
It might not be a good idea to have a hot dog at like 6 in the morning.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
But what does it matter? Like, what does it
but
matter?
But what's the difference if you're having link sausage as opposed to a hot dog? At 6
wait a
o'clock
minute.
In the morning.
Wait
does
a minute.
It matter?
I would say. Any time is good time for a hot dog. Now, I hope my wife's not listening to the sodium input here.
Right.
But hot dogs are really good food.
And probably one of the top three worst things you can put inside your body.
Think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know.
And sodium.
Look at such. Oh, I thought the boys were having some beers there. We have Weir, Hadwin, Corey Connors. I thought they were on 18 having
Diet
a beer.
Cokes.
Yeah, they're Diet Cokes. Yeah. They look like tall Diet Cokes, though.
Tall boys.
Honestly. Anyways.
Okay, so we're going to talk about this elephant in the room.
Which elephant is that? There's lots of them.
We're going to go there right now?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about ladies golf.
Well,
yeah.
And Mikey
Bay. We were going to finish up with the RBC. We still have, I mean, we got another hour to go. We got plenty of time
we got
to kill.
Lots of time.
So
I want to know, do you guys think he's going to pull this off? Is Nick Taylor going to be the Canadian to win? I mean,
what kind of hole is this?
Now?
They got to hit a 5-iron off
it's
the tee.
It's a goofy
a
hole.
Three-wort?
It's a goofy par 5. They do. They hit like a kind of a hybrid-y down there. I don't know, maybe 250, 245, and then you can whip a hybrid or 5-wood on the green. You know?
I'm
trying to figure this. This is the third time I've seen this hole. I'm like, and the last time I was like, yeah, it looked like he hit a 4-iron off that tee.
So they did just go back. They're playing the same hole again.
Rory's two-time defending champ. He was trending nicely yesterday. He was right there.
He's on top of the leaderboard for a little bit.
He three-putted the last hole. I watched him miss about a 4-footer. and he fell back. And then I don't know what he shot today. I think he shot
even. Shot even today.
But he was three or four over at one point, I think.
Yes, he was.
Five or six holes. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think that he's got to feel pretty confident here. Right, Nick Taylor?
Oh. Let me tell you what. There's
I don't care who he's
win,
playing,
and there's times to win.
This would be. Somebody said this week on the radio that if a Canadian won the Canadian Open, and I'm not saying this because I'm Canadian, but if the Canadian won the Canadian Open, it would be bigger than winning the Masters.
Really?
Well,
and
I can see that.
And another guy said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, any of the other ones, I agree, but not the Masters. I mean, Then obviously Mike Weir won the.
He's got a good line.
Okay.
Mike Weir won the Masters, and he's done. He's done great. He actually played well this week. He's having pretty good. Pretty good career in a Champions Tour so far. But I don't know. That's an interesting. I guess endorsements. Canadian endorsements.
Canadian money. Yeah, absolutely.
He's got that big RBC logo on his left sleeve, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That kind of doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
They kind of freed it up when they got rid of DJ, you know.
Fleetwood going with an iron.
Yeah, and that's another thing about the whole situation in golf right now. How many of those players are going to get their deals back? How many guys are going to – or what's going to happen? I heard somebody just got their deal. They just took somebody back on. Do you remember who it was?
No.
Nope.
Oh, man, it was – I'll have to find out who it is.
With Liv?
Well, somebody lost their endorsement.
For going to Liv and now has it back.
And now has it back.
Interesting.
Now it's okay.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, what? That's weird.
Yeah. Right.
Right? That's kind of like, come on.
This I've always goofy. Said the sanctimonious, the sanctimonious talk is just.
Just seems goofy.
Driven me nuts. Exactly.
Because who else did, who else lost? Who didn't? Sergio?
They all did.
Yeah. Sergio with Adidas, right?
Right.
And then who
every
else?
One of them. I mean, DJ.
Well, DJ, from
I mean, DJ
from
comes
TaylorMade.
Out. DJ comes out wearing foot joys.
No, it wasn't like, TaylorMade. It was Adidas.
He's wearing these foot. I'm like, dude, what's up with the foot joy shoes? No contract.
Right.
Come on, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, are you gonna be okay?
We got Rieger over there eating peanut M&Ms in front of us.
Yeah, he's like you eating on the show constantly.
Not fair.
Yeah,
Rieger.
Rose today too. I was hoping Rose was gonna do.
Well, that was another guy I was really surprised. And did he shoot over par as well?
No, he was one under today. He finished eighth. Got that double bogey in there. That's what really hurt him.
So, you know, the text message that I get, I got little smart aleck friends here. Nick Taylor from Duran Duran. I'm like, now who would pull that one? Where's that come from?
Yeah, that's Duran Duran. What do you think about these guys all playing too before the Open next week? Got some big names in this event.
Yeah,
Rosie, Fleetwood.
Look at these fairways. Kind of a
true
open type deal going on here.
Yes,
that's true. All right, a special edition of Spin on Golf because we're sticking around for another hour. We still have to get to ladies golf. We got more to talk about the LIV and Tour merger coming up, and we will get to all of that coming up next hour. This is Spin on Golf, 760 AM WJR. Still watching the end of the RBC Canadian Open playoff hole number two. They're on the green. Tommy Fleetwood hitting his, second shot into the grandstand, actually. Got himself a free drop. So
into somebody's drink.
Into somebody's drink, yes. So they are both putting here to determine whether or not we go to a third playoff hole. So while we wait for that, Mike, why don't we talk a little bit about the LPGA and what the ladies are doing?
Yes, this past week was the finish today, ShopRite LPGA Classic, presented by Acer at Seaside in Galloway, New Jersey. I like
Liberty.
To say that.
New Jersey.
Yes, I used to live in New Jersey for a little while, and they always say it.
New Jersey.
Okay, so Ashley Buhai, the South African, took the title at 14 under par, shooting 65 today. And
nice score.
Get her done.
Yo-Ju Kim by a shot, which is pretty good.
The big story in the LPGA is obviously Rose.
Yes.
Zhang.
Yes. Let's talk about Rose. Let's go through. Jordan was talking about some of her stuff before she started. She made her LPGA Tour debut, and she's a winner on the Mizuho Americas Open this past week. Let's see, how many titles did she win?
Well, she had two NCAAs,
yeah,
I believe, and then she had a USGA Junior, and then she had another USGA title, probably, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, but all the women, or I don't know which one it was, but that's pretty good.
Yes.
So there's four, and then she wins her first professional event.
She did.
Stanford, right?
Here's some fun facts for you.
It's better than her Tiger Woods
Well, her eight wins in college this season tied Tiger Woods for the most by a Stanford player in school history.
Eight nice. In college.
Eight.
1 year.
Uh-huh. 1 year.
I mean, there's some basketball teams that don't have eight wins.
How about this one?
UAD. UAD.
In her incredible Stanford career, she won 12 times in 20 starts.
Wow.
That's a pretty good win percentage.
Yeah.
Better than any other man or woman in history besides Woods.
Besides.
That's right.
Mm. Okay.
She spent 141 weeks as the number one ranked amateur in the world, the most of any player ever.
Impressive.
Rose Zhang is here to stay.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Anytime you say ever after a statement, it's usually pretty.
We're talking.
It's like, bam.
17th century stuff here, Mike. You know, we've been playing golf for a long time.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Well, since all the rankings came out and all that good stuff. Right.
Right.
But, yeah. Something else really, really cool to see. And I think we're going to be watching her play golf.
Yeah, it's exciting to have a new women's star out there now.
American.
She's fresh, right?
Yes.
American. Yes.
It's pretty cool.
She is American.
Good for her.
We had both the guys miss their birdie putts. They're going to a third playoff.
Third playoff hole, yeah.
Third playoff hole.
Yep. Tommy Fleetwood could have grabbed it, but unfortunately he missed his birdie putt. So and it looks like they're changing holes too.
Oh,
so
thank God.
They're going to a different hole now.
As they say in hockey, we have free hockey. We have free golf.
Free golf
here. Yep. Extra time.
Absolutely.
Extra time.
We'll see what goes on there.
It's interesting. They only do a sudden death in this. They don't do a U.S. Open, which would be a 18-hole playoff the next day.
Ooh.
Oh.
Or the Open Championship would have a 3-hole or 4-hole cumulative score. It's just a sudden
what,
death. Just a
what
sudden
if death. They did, like, all right, on the first playoff hole, you have to have one beer, and then you play. And then the second, you got down two beers on the tee and play. And if
you got to put some Canadian club in there, too. Right, Mikey? How about an OV and chase it with a little?
You need something.
I don't know if I like the whole.
Now you're just describing my normal golf game. That's just...
I don't know if I like the whole boards thing on the one hole. Like, you guys see that? I mean, it's okay, but sometimes it gets a little hokey.
Right.
They're singing. Hey, I love it, but they did sing "O Canada" to all the Canadian guys that came through on the tee before they teed off. Their song "You'll Know" was sitting there like this. They were singing with Roger Sloan. It's like it's
that's
hilarious.
Any different than how he always.
No,
is.
I know. I'm just like, oh, whatever.
No emotion. Song "You'll Know."
They said it was kind of funny. Like, of all people standing there, they're sung "You'll Know."
They're headed over hole 9 now. So we'll see if that changes. And if they tie again, back over to 18 one more time.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So is this a scenario where has it been where the playoffs get extended to the point of darkness and you can't play and
they
pick
just
it up?
Say, yeah, you know, I want to split it. Yeah, we'll just split it.
Right, we'll just split it up.
But you can have the crystal because, you know, you can be the national champion. I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
Right.
You know, I got tons.
I'm good. Right.
Why don't you do it? Because it'd be so good, and you're wearing the RBC logo too. It'd really be good for your career.
Be so good for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's get on with this.
That's I mean, because it looks like it's getting a little
darker. What's
dark
the longest
there?
Playoff ever? Remember last year we had 7 holes or 8 holes?
Mikey,
remember that?
You got your device in here.
Where's your statistician?
Mikey's a lot faster.
That's where the good old Google bar comes in. I like
18, 18, 9, 18.
18, yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, closest to the pin competition.
That'd be it. Done. Right? Don't have to putt out. Let's get on with it. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Absolutely. Well, we got, Mike, we find anything about?
We did, yeah.
Longest playoff ever?
Well, it's from, there's a couple different ones. It's 38 holes because it goes back to the
you're talking Walter Hagen and yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can't include those ones. I'm talking about like
post 68 the PGA Tour PGA of America split, so we're saying after 68.
How about this one? 1931 U.S. Open was the 35th U.S. Open held in July, Inverness in Toledo. Billy Burke won his only major title, defeating George Van Alm in a marathon 72 hole playoff.
Oh my.
What?
Longest Longest.
They played two tournaments.
72 holes.
They played two tournaments.
Longest in two.
That's crazy.
You think the members were pissed they couldn't get back on their golf course? Get off my course.
Hole number nine here, a par three they're going with. And Nick Taylor hitting it just to the right of the flag, kind of on the first
cut. Got a nice little
there.
Kick.
Yep.
Look at Rosie.
Good bounce.
Rosie's there watching, too.
That's good.
He's an RBC guy, isn't he? I think he's an RBC guy.
I don't know, but Fleetwood here. What do you think he's got? Corporate 8-iron? Oh, 9-iron. He's going to 9-iron.
It goes one way.
Oh, is
it's
curving it
gonna
in there?
Be good.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, boy.
Okay. 12 feet up the hill. Somebody's making that putt.
Can't mark it.
Definitely somebody's making that putt.
Mud on both balls.
Mud on both balls.
Can't mark them, right, Mikey?
Nope.
Yeah, not on the green, off the side.
Who's this more important for?
Well, not even. Well, he's a national hero. If you
I know. True, I know. But
Fleetwood?
How long has it been since Fleetwood won?
Fleetwood's, you know, it's been
a
while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Yeah. Tommy's kind of, you know, he's been worried about his locks, you know.
His locks. It's a lot of work to keep those locks.
How about next week, guys? We've got the U.S. Open coming up.
This is
our
a
major
big week coming up.
This is going to be a media frenzy.
Early predictions.
First of all, I mean, yeah, who we got? Who we picking? And what do you? I think this is gonna fly. I know we don't have time right now, but we can talk about it after.
Yeah,
we got to get to the U.S. Open prep after this, and then we'll get to the elephant in the room.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do a little U.S. Open talk coming up here in just a moment. We still have more show to go. We are with you for about the next 45 minutes or so with a special 2-hour edition of Spin on Golf. This is 760 AM WJR. Well, on to playoff hole number four at the RBC Canadian Open. Both Nick Taylor and Tommy Fleetwood missing their birdie putts, making par on the par three ninth. So now back to 18 for the third time.
Hey, BC, do you want to win?
No, I don't want it. Do you want to
win? I don't want to win. Do you want to win, Jordan? Who wants to win?
I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right. Before the break, we briefly hit on the Open coming this weekend. It's going to be a big one. Lot
the
going
U.S.
on.
Open.
The correct. The U.S. Open.
Say the Open.
The Open. Correct. The U.S. Open. Absolutely.
Lots of rules here with BC.
Apparently so. I'm learning. Learning week
don't
by week.
Don't say senior tour and don't
no!
say open.
Champions tour.
And don't say merger.
Don't say merger. Right.
Don't say merger.
Okay. Let's talk. We've talked before we went early prediction on what's going to happen this coming weekend.
Well, I think everyone's going to see a redone LACC. That was a Gil Hanse deal. And I just saw a picture of the 11th hole, 290 yard par three.
What?
It's going to be good.
7550.
Wow.
What? 7550.
Yeah. And I think the rough is like up to your kneecap.
I mean, we're going to see some carnage. Like
be good.
Never been seen before. This
okay.
like all right, Goose. I have the odds.
You have the odds.
I do.
I would love to hear.
You want to hear some odds?
I want to take a guess. Who's
Statman?
I'm thinking. Rory's got the best odds.
No. Scheffler.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Scheffler, plus 700. Then Rahm, Koepka, McIlroy, Homa.
Okay.
Justin Thomas.
Wow.
Patrick Cantlay.
Justin Thomas.
Hovlin.
No, Justin Thomas is 75th in the FedEx Cup right now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know he just committed to Rocket
Mortgage?
Mortgage,
yeah.
Nice.
Hey, how about this? Cam Smith.
Mm-hmm.
What about him?
Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele.
Morikawa, how healthy?
What's Fitzpatrick? Is he on that list?
Back
defending
spasms.
Champion.
Fitzpatrick is plus 2,500.
Who do you like?
I like Cam Smith.
See, I've been a fan of his for a while, and I was, yeah, I'm there with you. Absolutely. Mm. BC?
I'm going with back-to-back majors.
Oh.
Brooks.
Brooksy.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
Just because Rieger hates him. Look at him. Just because Rieger hates him. That's the only reason I'm taking him.
That's not. I'm going to go with something a little outside the box. Seth Thigala.
Very nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
California guy?
Pepperdine.
L.A.?
Right there.
I'm just going to go there.
Good call.
Saheed?
Saheed
Thigala.
Is he going to play in the Rocket?
I hope so, because he could win that. I've already predicted him to win that one.
Okay.
So he's got to play in it before he can win it.
Yeah, he does. Okay, I picked him earlier to win the Rocket.
You know, the big news this week was Justin Thomas commits to the Rockets, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
cool. That's a tough job for Langwell. You know, he's got to kind of pick these guys' brains. How's your schedule looking now? At what point do you go, hey, buzz off, dude? You know, you know, getting a Justin Thomas here is a game changer.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's a game. Good for Danny Gilbert and his crew. And obviously Jason getting JT here. It's
awesome.
Where does the Rocket Mortgage sit in terms of, you know, if you're talking tiers of tournaments, obviously not talking majors, the majors are the majors, but you're talking tiers of tournaments. Where does the Rocket Mortgage sit? Like on a grades, a, you know, you got your A tournaments, your B tournaments, and popularity wise, and kind of where do you think
what
the Rocket Mortgage
type
sits?
Of level of you talking are you talking about? Are you talking about coolness of golf course? It's not Jack's tournament. Jack's tournament's cool because it's Jack's tournament.
Yeah,
right.
But you know what?
Or Harbortown's cool because it's just tradition and unique.
Yeah,
it's not like the best golf course, but it's just a cool event. Or
You know the Waste Management Open. Obviously, a lot of people love that tournament. You're talking the 16th hole. You know, they got the thing. You know, it's you know, I would put that up there until what people know.
I mean, tell you what. Mortgage. After the first year we're there, people are like, "Holy holy cow!
Holy smokes! Sorry,
holy smokes!
Good catch, BC!
Holy
catch.
Smokes! I can't believe this is Detroit."
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody said.
Yep.
And everybody that's come since has said the same thing. It's like, I can't believe how cool this tournament is. It's cool. It really is. Now he's got these sky boxes all over. He's got six or seven of them out there, more than any other tour event. And every year it's just like, what can they do next? And they keep doing it.
They keep making it better and better.
Yeah. So, you know, again, Langwell, unbelievable job he's done.
I'm excited to see some of the new things this year.
It's cool. Yeah. It's really cool. Behind the fifth, he says you can see almost a whole golf course from behind the fifth green.
Mm-hmm. Really?
On this new platform. I'm like, well, that platform, what is that, six stories?
With the birdhouse, right?
Yeah.
The birdhouse?
Yeah, the birdhouse, yeah.
Wow.
Behind five.
So treehouse.
The treehouse, right. Every hole except number three.
But the treehouse is out on the north side of the course, right? Which is behind the par five and the par four that loops around the old number 17? Eight. Or old number... Well, you can see.
No, it's on number five. Well, yeah, it's a,
you know, the par five that goes up into the trees on the left and the houses on the left.
That's the old. That's number five.
It's back in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's behind that green, looking down six fairway. And you say you can see every hole except for the third hole, which is number one on the south.
They have like beer stands up there. Maybe?
Do you think? Why else would you go up there?
A whole bunch of stuff.
Why else would you go up there, Mike?
Nice. A whole bunch of stuff.
Anyway, getting back to the Open, it's going to be a brute. It's going to be long. And, again, I expect the cream of the crop.
No. What's the winning score going to be, you think?
I'm going to say seven.
Yeah, single digits.
Single digits, yeah. I was thinking.
USGA does not like below par.
Right.
They don't like it.
It's a different course, right? Like it's
different. You know, they've got two, the north and the south there, but Gil redid it like 4 years ago. And you know, some of the pictures I saw of it, okay, it's flowing, you know, floating greens, you know, no trees, same old story again. But they've obviously made it.
Angles into the greens is important.
It's very important. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a Gil. That's a big Gil trait. They're showing this. Mike's got it going on right now with no rough.
Right.
And you could just go over the ankles with this stuff. And then some of the fairway bunkers are kind of penal looking at this. But
first hole, 590.
Right off the bat. Right out of the gate. Par 590.
Par seven?
Should be a par eight for us.
Mike, let me just start off by giving you a knee in the groin right off the kick-off. And then have a good time the rest of the week.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. Yeah. Where's the beverage cart?
Yeah, exactly.
Fleetwood here hitting his second, laying up. Looks like it was about a 9 or an 8 iron from the fairway bunker on 18, which these guys got to be sick of playing right now.
So sick, yeah. Fourth time today they're playing this hole.
They're getting dizzy. Yes, they're getting
We've
dizzy.
Got Taylor, who's just kind of in the first cut kind of, yeah. But it's sitting down slightly. Looks like he's going with a hybrid, or he's going to whip one up on the green there, mm-hmm. hopefully, and end this quickly.
Okay. Let's get to the old pink elephant in the room.
Okay, you want to start? Well, we got we got a couple minutes here, but want to jump into it? We can jump into it.
I think let's just start by the architect, Jimmy Dunn, who they're claiming is the architect of this.
Saved golf, apparently.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, the same guy that said live guys were not allowed at the pro member at what was that place in Florida? Seminole.
That's Seminole,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Live golf golfers were not allowed there. Right. Not allowed to play. Okay, right. Same guy, same architect, okay?
Okay.
So he was the first link between the PGA Tour and Live Golf. Now Jimmy Golf shares exclusive details from the negotiations. I'm just reading this from Rosenberg's article online the other day. A member of the tour policy board, I'd like to take the opportunity to call, hopefully a visit. Jimmy Dunn met with His Excellency, I would call him, and he didn't know what he would expect when he reached out to him. Didn't say boo, yay, hey, here am I, who are you? I said on the policy board, and that's how he got the ball rolling. And they met a few times after that, and I think Jimmy Dunn said that he was pretty surprised that they got that call.
Right.
Okay. So go on from there. They flew to London in April. They had dinner, and then they played golf the next day, and yada, yada, yada. The parameters of the tour's deal with the PIF to SI is that PGA Tour will be called the PGA Tour, but now Commissioner Jay Monahan will also oversee Live Golf, and PGA Tour remains a partner of DP World Golf. Monahan has told His Excellency they will evaluate Live at the end of the year. Okay. If Monahan wants to disband Live Golf, he can. If Live Golfers wanted to play in the PGA Tour, Monahan and the current PGA Tour leaders would have to approve the terms. Monahan has banned them. It's presumed the penalties to return to the tour will be significant. PIF, here's a big thing. PIF, the Saudi fund, is not actually contributing anything directly to the PGA Tour or its players. PIF will instead get right of first refusal to the tour's investment partner. To be the tour's investment partner through a new company, which would be for profit. What does this mean? Well, let's say the tour wants to buy Pebble Beach. The PIF, the Saudi fund, has a right to be its partner. The tour will be controlling partner in any investments going forward. PIF has not promised a single dollar in investments, and the tour has not promised the Saudis anything other than the first right of refusal.
That's going to be
a
hot
right
mess.
Of first refusal.
Hot mess.
No guarantee or tournament sites or sponsorships have been said yet. We don't know the answer of everything yet, Jimmy Dunn has said. That's where we stand.
All right. Well, there's more to talk about for sure, including I saw an article on how they almost got caught. This is quite interesting. So we'll get into that coming up here in just a couple minutes. Hang on. Spin on Golf on 760 AM WJR. Ah, 60 seconds. We missed it by 45 seconds. What a great live moment that would have been as Nick Taylor wins the RBC Canadian Open with a 70-foot putt. I mean, this dead center.
Dead heart.
Clown's mouth.
Walk off.
Right there. Unbelievable.
He just throws his putter.
The first Canadian to win the RBC Canadian Open since 1959 or something like
1822.
That.
1822.
I mean, unbelievable.
What a putt.
Why not?
And
after
I didn't see anybody throw any beer cans on the green, did you?
No, I saw some champagne spray, but that was about it. That's
pretty
gonna
cool scene there. That'll be a party tonight.
That's gonna be number one on the Sports Center top 10 tomorrow morning when you tune into ESPN.
That was awesome.
That was
absolutely so cool.
That is cool. That's what. See, no other sport can that happen. I mean, nothing else can happen like that. Maybe a home run in the World Series game.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but, three-quarter court shot with time running out, sure.
Yeah,
but,
maybe, but, I mean, there's something about making a bomb.
It's so good.
I still remember at the PGA at Kiowa when you were playing.
18.
And we're playing 18, and, you know, it's middle of the day, and BC's playing a big PGA championship, right? Big moment. And BC's
but there's
got,
a lot of people up there because Tiger's, like, four holes behind us.
BC's
so everyone's
got,
crowding,
like,
up into the gallery.
I don't know, 30-footer, maybe a 40-footer. And, I don't know, kind of mucking our way around, and everybody goes nuts, and
it's the loudest
we're
roar
standing
I've ever
there,
heard. I'm like,
standing
wow,
there,
this is
and he goes,
cool.
Wow, that was really cool. I go, yeah, that was cool.
That's awesome.
Good read, Boak.
I'll tell you what, back in
that was cool.
Back in 20,
yeah, let's do it like five more times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
2016, I got to go over to Scotland and got to play the old course, and on 18, you know, being a public course, people just kind of hang around. And on 18, I had like a 25-footer that I actually made. People are like, it's the coolest feeling in the entire world.
Pat they Fletcher, last Canadian, 1954.
54. Wow.
Thanks, okay. Mr. Marshall, statistician.
Wow. Appreciate he is, that. I mean, what, Marshall, you have no life.
Overtime.
You know, we're talking to you, Marshall. Partner.
Oh,
what
man.
A pun. All right. So we were talking, of course, about the big news this week and what's going on with this. Not merger, paid partnership, sponsorship. What did you call it, Mike?
A sponsored partnership.
Sponsored partnership. Well, you know, according to some of these articles, this has been going on for 7 weeks is the kind of the timeline. And apparently it almost all fell apart because during one of the meetings with Jay Monahan when he was over in Venice, the chief executive of Formula One walked into the same restaurant and knew – Jay knew right away if another executive is going to see, because he was sitting down with the heads of Liv. He said, if he saw me with the heads of Liv, he knew the news was going to break. And so Jay kind of,
you know what you say? You know what you say at that point? Don't worry. There's enough to go around.
Yeah.
There's plenty.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
But I still think, you know, my personal opinion about this, this was a leak. This was not an official announcement.
This was not supposed to happen yet.
I agree with that.
It was too easy. There's too many way. I mean, for this to happen without any trust laws, the Sherman antitrust law, you know, it goes up to the food chain all the way up to the government.
Right.
You know, yada, yada. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. So I just tell people, I think they've agreed to talk.
Okay.
I think that's what they basically
there are a lot of something of this magnitude, there are a lot of unanswered questions you think would be answered before making an official announcement. So that does, you know, kind of make sense. And you know, from one aspect, you're looking at the guys like DJ and Phil, and who collected hundreds of millions of dollars for a couple years worth of work, and now will they be allowed to play, or are they going to flat out get banned from playing? And apparently it's all up to Monahan on whether or not it's going to happen.
They're not going to ban anybody from playing.
No, are they going to cost
money?
Not
what anybody
no,
wants.
They're just not going to be part of the equity. Right. They want everybody playing in the same field, the best players of the world. Every sponsor wants the best. You asked Jason, I want the best field every single week. And if that takes getting rid of this crap, this noise we've been through the last 2 years, then let's get on with it.
But again, as you mentioned earlier, Jordan, it could be a couple, three, four, 5 years before questions are answered.
I think where we sit back and take a deep breath and say, hey, remember when that happened? We didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at it. Wow, it's pretty cool.
Another.
I think it's going to be 5 years.
Okay.
4 or 5 years.
Another interesting point, BC, you brought up was, you know, you look at some of the major sponsors, the number one sponsor of the tour, FedEx, who just, you mentioned, invested a whole bunch of money over in Saudi Arabia. Did that?
A lot of companies do, you know, and they've got to get through the regulations. American company doing dealings or vice versa, coming to the United States and doing dealings. He's got to go through some regulations, SEC, call it what you may, but there's a lot of hoops to jump through and that, let alone the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour regulations. So there's a lot of crap going on. I mean, I can't even imagine how do you even start tackling this deal.
Yeah.
It's a mammoth deal. And, you know, as a PGA Tour kind of had a monopoly in golf, yeah, but no one else did anything.
Right.
No one else really came up and did anything. So what's, is it a monopoly at that point? No, I don't think so. They were just the only product. The only one delivering a product at that point. The DP Tour tried, but everybody knew the only place to play. And everybody knew when I played, the only place to play was PGA Tour. You want to play golf? You want to play the PGA Tour.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at any other, you know, any other sport, you've got the professional league where the best players are. Now you've got the different legs and amateur the type things going on. But when it comes to a professional sport, there's one major conglomerate, and that's what it is, where you go to be the best. And it's hard to do when you got a lot of the top-ranked players in the world playing somewhere else.
I think one comment that I heard that was interesting from a tour player was he felt that the players that did leave were playing somewhere, and it wasn't – I don't want to say earned, because some of those guys are the best players in the world. But now, he said, we want to have a place where you – earn your keep, or you earn your way there through some kind of ranking, whether it be getting through tour school or earning it through the NCAA 5, or whether it's Canadian tour, whatever it's going to be. And you know, you earn your spot there, and then you have to keep it there. Then you have to earn your spot to stay there.
Right.
And
could LIV become something of a triple A baseball or lower football?
No, soccer league. I just think that this was a spot where basically they picked or cherry picked the players they want, and they could, because they could. They had, and then they said, hey, we're going to pay you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just go over there and play. And I didn't have a problem with it. I just like the fact that now it'll all be together. And again, you're back in line. Like, you have a number. You'll have a rate, like whether it's Swagger, I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe it's going to be a new rating system. And you'll have to fight your way, and the best will be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And the in-betweeners will be the in-betweeners, and they'll be fighting their way up, and guys will get knocked out and fighting their way back up. And I just like that natural competition. And I think in the end, it's all going to be better. And obviously, if the money is truly going to be influxed in with right of refusal, whatever. I think if you're going to spend money and be a partner with somebody, why not be a partner with somebody that has billions or trillions and wanted to put it towards the PGA Tour?
Right. I mean, the
and bad, the players.
The bad thing about it is everybody has a preconception that the Saudis are evil. All right, let's just start from that premise. That's the American version of the Saudis are evil. And we can give you history of saying they've done this. No, let's not be saying.
Well, I can, you know, understand and say, that, though.
Sure. And I can't say that America's squeaky clean or any country's squeaky clean is sports washing. Well, I guess everybody is sports washed at some point in time in their life. And I don't believe in that terminology. That terminology didn't exist until last year. I'd have never heard it before. But anyway, so if we can just get beyond this, do you really think the Saudis are trying to hurt the game of golf?
I wouldn't think so.
No. I don't think so. I mean, I think they helped soccer along. I think they helped IndyCar or Grand Prix racing along. I don't know which one it is, but Grand Prix racing along. I think they helped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they have the wherewithal to do it? Yes.
But the bigger picture is, I believe they're trying to make a stake in the world as a better nation, as getting more involved in whether it's electric energy or battery energy or whatever energy. I mean, they're trying to go above and beyond just sports.
I think it's more of
a culture. It's more
worldwide player.
Worldwide player. And we're going to be the front runner. And we're going to start maybe with golf and then go to this. Maybe it's going to be basketball and Formula One and all over the place next. Who knows?
Absolutely could be. All right, we got one more segment to go on this special two-hour edition of Spin on Golf, live from Fox Hills, 760 AM, WJR. Welcome.
How about this David Byrne on? I mean, this is cool. Talking heads.
I love little talking heads. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, last segment. BC, I jump right into it. Is it Jay Monahan or someone else for our Punk of the Week?
No, it's not Jay Monahan. I don't give a crap about him. I don't care. He doesn't even move my needle.
Okay.
I'll tell you who the punk of the week is. All these stupid dumb blankety blank media people that think they know what they're talking about and presuming this is what's going to happen going forward. I mean, they can't even say that, okay, all that they've done here is agree to kind of move things forward. Can we just stop at that? And then, like Jordan said about the loop on the Golf Channel, I mean, that whole nightmare, whatever you think of Chambly and his Amon jackass Lynch type guy opinion, and there's the top of the food chain as it comes to media. I can't even say this without cuss words. I can't even go there. This is really hard here. This is really hard with these guys on the Golf Channel and the media people. You know, now all of a sudden it's okay. The Saudis are okay now. It's like, how did it switch like that?
Well,
you know, it's okay.
On the flip side to it, as you mentioned,
didn't
when
switch.
We
nope. about Rory,
yeah. He did a little bit. So Rory came around and said, it's all going to work out.
I mean, I don't like live.
Right.
But it'll work
out. It'll work out, right. But as you mentioned, as you're complaining about the media people, and I totally get it, but this can be said about anything. Like you said at the beginning of the show, BC, with that $100 bill still sitting there, it's all about the money. And the Golf Channel and all these guys, they got to get viewers, and they're going to give their opinions, right or wrong. And
they get paid to talk about something. That's the problem. They get talked about something, whether they get information correctly or incorrectly.
Absolutely.
There was no information.
Right.
There was no information, and that's all they had to say. We really don't have any more information. But upon our opinion, we think, now we got a 2-hour special on this of nothing but noise.
Right.
Oh, here we are. Oh, sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think the punks of the week are definitely the media mouse who spoke way out of, in the Golf Channel, top of the food chain.
Okay.
Punk out.
I don't have a punk of the week, but I did think that Monahan might not make it through the week. I thought he might be forced to resign from pressure, but it seemed to be even make him stronger for some reason.
I think,
and I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, but I think he's got his excellency in him. That might be the link. You don't know. I mean,
well,
a personal relationship does develop and when big money deals happen, right?
And this might not be informative. My question is what happens to Norman now?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Retirement time? He's just done?
Well,
they'll do another Netflix thing on him.
I mean, is he going to get a VP role with the PGA Tour?
So.
I think,
isn't this what he's been doing since 93 anyway? Isn't this kind of what he's been trying to do? Mm-hmm. So is he kind of sit back in about a month and go,
I did good job.
Right.
Done deal.
Right. Okay.
I think so. I think this is what he's been doing. Does he have an axe to grind with the PGA Tour in some sense? Yes. Did Phil Mickelson have an axe to grind? Yes. For obvious reasons from their statements, why they left or why they had an axe to grind. And I think this kind of, okay. Yeah. I was right about this.
As a player, is it, I mean, Rory, do your thing, whatever, you know, values or beliefs you have, but someone comes to you and says, you're going to get to play in tournaments, but I'm giving you $200 million to still play golf. I mean,
no, it wasn't even about the money. It's the obvious business side of the game was glaring in both their faces where they could not keep doing this. They couldn't do this. It was horrific for the game of golf.
Right.
Horrific. We all know that. And professional golf is as good a spot. We have unbelievable players playing the game right now. Great role models, great players, good people. And they're just bad mouthing each other. It's bad.
Yeah, it sounds high schoolish.
It's terrible. It's what I expect the NBA players to do, the NFL players to do. We're different than that.
Right. No, I agree. Absolutely. It was absolutely bad for the game of golf. Mike, you're sitting there kind of.
Oh, fine. I've had enough.
You've had enough?
You're right about it. I've had enough. I mean, that's how I feel about the whole entire thing. And
I'm almost relieved we've got to this point.
Yeah.
But now I want to see them do something really, really cool with it.
Right.
Okay, valid question. What really cool thing? What's what really cool thing could they do when they merge?
Okay, so I think they should have a really great world type tour, like a tour schedule, but keep all the traditional ones going. You can have the majors. You can have a team type format with like Party Central and the whole nine yards and do all that. I mean, I don't have a problem with that, moving towards the DJ stuff and the whatever, but merge towards that. Those events are great. Invite, somehow you qualify to get in, and those purses are boosted. So you've got some of the best players. I don't know if it's going to be a recruiting thing like it has been. I mean, it's kind of like a buddy system, though, if it does that way, which I don't know if that's the right way to go, right? I think it's almost like FedEx. You earn the top 30, you get to play in the championship. Well, maybe if you're in the top 30 or whatever, you get selected or you're eligible to be on that team. Maybe right, they draft you and protect you, but if you're not in there, you don't get to play.
Right. What about a random draw? Top 30 names in a hat, teams of four.
Like the villain thing where, like, you got these guys and these guys, and you got the Spanish guys and maybe the Canadian guys, whatever. But I think that could happen. And then, you know, you could have a nice mix of that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the DP Tour and all that, like, mix it all in. And then now you've got the best players playing all over the world in a balanced deal. And away we go.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, you know, did the PGA Tour have an arm to go, okay, we're going to play in Tibet, or we're going to go play in the Philippines, or we're going to go play here? I think the Live Golf kind of showed that you can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that's let's go play in Vietnam next year. Let's have a blowout tournament in Vietnam. And I guarantee you, any country you go to, or let's go to play in Northern Ireland, let's go to Scandinavia. I mean, look at all these great countries that people golf in that have been ignored off the golf scene.
It is a worldwide sport, for sure.
Here we are. We have an opportunity to make this a worldwide game, which it is. We have this commonality. You know, I don't speak the same language as that guy, but I'm going to play golf with him because we both love golf. So we have a commonality. We have a chance to do this around the globe on just about every continent. Not every continent, but just about every continent now.
I like it. I like it. And I hope that does come to fruition. And as we've said multiple times, glad that it's kind of moving forward and over with. We're about done.
We're getting close.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to fall asleep.
Isn't it a 3-hour show?
Is that 3? Do you want to hang out, BC?
I got nothing going on. I got steak.
Got that steak salad waiting for you, though. Steak salad. It's been quite the eventful show, of course, with the big news with the RBC Canadian Open finish with a 71-foot putt, first Canadian winner in
54
since 54. Yeah, been a good time. And you guys are going to do it all again next week, too.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so sad that I'm not going to be here next week.
Congratulations to Sean and his daughter, right, with their graduation party tonight.
So yes.
I thought we were going to do it there.
Party.
I thought we were doing the show there.
I thought so, too, but I guess there wasn't enough food.
Thank you to Jason back in the studio as well for BC, Jordan Young, Mike Fay. My name is Aaron Griselli. Thank you so much for joining us. Live from Fox Hills, Spin on Golf, 760 AM, WJR.